Hi, and welcome back to Sex Scandals and Shenanigans. If you're a prior listener, welcome back. If you're a new listener, welcome. In this show, I discuss history's most notorious mistresses and lovers. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host. Before diving into today's episode, I want to preface a few things. In this episode, I will focus on Zeus, the king of the Olympic gods. So really, there's no point in going into the definition of a mistress, because he's not really a mistress, he is the lover. I would also want to note that, like most episodes, this episode will feature sex, sexual assault, and rape, and listener discretion is advised. This will be a two-parter episode. One, Zeus stuck his dick in everything, whether it be a princess, mortal, goddess, nymph, and or a titaness. Also, two, episode one, which is this one, will feature his affairs and offspring from his immortal companions. Again, the nymphs, the goddesses, titanesses, etc. And three, episode two will feature his liaisons with the mortal women and then discuss his demigod children. Please note that I will be peppering in stories related to not just Zeus's extramarital affairs, but also a story or two about the children, god, demigod. So bear with me on these two next episodes. Oh, for a quick background, I'll be using the following books and website sources. Robert Gray's The Greek Myths, Volume 1. Mythology 101 from Kathleen Sears. From Gods to Goddesses to Monsters and Mortals, Your Guide to Ancient Mythology. And for those who are on a budget, Classical Mythology by H.A. Gruber from Barnes & Noble. And also Theoi, theoi.com for any online references. Let's do a little bit of background on Zeus before we get into his sordid and torrid affairs. Zeus's parents were Cronus and Rhea, son and daughter of Gaia and Uranus. Oh good, here we go with another ass joke. It's still funny though. Rhea and Cronus were the Titans. They were like the pre-Olympian gods. Gaia and Uranus were the primordial gods. Zeus's uncle was Prometheus, Titan of foresight, and he also gave fire to man so we can eat, stay warm, and then fight each other. Other Titans that had an impact on Zeus included his aunt Metis, Leto, Themis, and Maia. All these women were of the Titan class. Rhea and Cronus had multiple children, including Zeus, who was the youngest. Like many a future story to be told, prophecies play a major role in the ancient Greek mythos. The prophecy regarding Cronus was that he was to be killed and overtaken by one of his sons. Every time he and Rhea would have a child, Cronus would then take the child from Rhea and swallow it to bypass the prophecy. First came Hades, Poseidon, Demeter, Hestia, and Hera. Little Zeus was spared. His mama was not happy she was losing her children, so she came up with a plan. After giving birth to Zeus, she would swap him for a rock and put it into swaddling. Then he was to be whisked away to a secret location on the island of Crete to grow up in relative peace. According to Hesiod, Gaia receives Zeus and is raised in Crete. He was raised with the nymphs over there, notably by Adrastia and milked by the she-goat Amalthea. I guess he got some goat's milk out of it. By the time Zeus grew up into manhood, he learned that he was tasked to kill his father and release his swallowed sibling. Also, according to Hesiod, the order that the children were swallowed in was the reverse order of being regurgitated out of their father's stomach. Since Zeus was not swallowed, he went from youngest to oldest. Once the siblings were released, Gaia gave Zeus his thunderbolt, which was crafted by the Cyclops and gifted to Zeus once he was freed them from their imprisonment. Now, another familiar war, the Titanomachy, but rather Gaia's imprisonment of the Hecatoncheires, the 50-headed and 100-armed giants, and the Cyclops. They were imprisoned by Uranus. Rhea's partner, Cronus, did swallow Zeus's siblings to thwart the same prophecy. A child essentially usurping their father becoming more powerful. In essence, this squabble between father and son, part two, is that the son's going to overtake the father and then usurp him for more power. And essentially that's what happens. Zeus overthrows, castrates, and kills Cronus after rescuing his sibling. And this took 10 years to fight, and it was located in Thessaly. And again, at the end of the day, the Olympian gods prevailed over their parents. So after their triumph, Zeus, Hades, and Poseidon drew lots, slash what we would call straws, to determine their realm. Zeus got the sky, Poseidon the seas, and Hades the underworld. Probably for the best anyway. He's one of the least worst of the gods. And now that that's out of the way and it's been covered, let's get into Zeus's sex life. Zeus has 7 recognized wives. Ugh, he sounds like a male version of Elizabeth Taylor, but I digress. His first wife was Metis. She was an Oceanid whose attributes include prophecy and wisdom. Per Gaia, Zeus received a prophecy that after giving birth to Athena, Metis would then bear Zeus a son who would become more powerful than him. Does this prophecy sound familiar to you? During their marriage, Metis became pregnant. Metis was then trying to thwart Zeus and his advances, playing a shape-shifting game. Each would morph into a different animal. Eventually, Metis turned herself into a fly to get away, but Zeus was able to catch her and swallow her. Ew. Unbeknownst to him, Metis was pregnant. When Metis was ready to give birth to their daughter, Zeus had an agonizing headache. Zeus called for Hephaestus to bring an axe to split open his head, and out came, fully formed of course, Athena, the new goddess of wisdom and war logistics. Let's get into a quick little story about Athena and her family. Poseidon and Athena asked Zeus to patronize a new city-state in the Attica area. A new competition was born between uncle and niece. Each gave different gifts to entice the people. From Poseidon, he gifted horses for transport and pleasure riding. He also had taken his trident, shook the earth from this hole, and an underground sea was created. Unfortunately, the water was seawater and not fresh water. And just so you know, I've accidentally drank seawater. I wouldn't advise it. It nasty. Anyway, the gift was greeted with limited excitement from Athena. She knelt and planted something in the ground. On bated breath, the king, Cecrops, the leader of this new land, and others saw the tree grow. This was the olive tree. With this gift, one can grow olives for eating, basically the fruit, and create olive oil, making, in addition to the olive fruit and with the oil that can be made from it, the wood from the tree could also be turned into timber for housing and building other projects. Because of the multifaceted use of the olive tree, Cecrops declared Athena as the winner, and the new city-state was named Athens in her honor. Poseidon, in his lack of infinite wisdom, which he really didn't possess, literally had a stormy hissy fit and flooded the Attica area in response. There are some discrepancies from different sources about the children of Zeus and Themis, so I'm just going to cover them all. Themis, being a titaness, was a personification of eternal order. This includes legal and justice order, the seasons, and life, just general life orders. So we have the Horai. We have Thallo, who is the personification of spring and new growth. Oxo, summer, vegetation, plants, and fertility personified. And Carpo, she personifies autumn and the harvest time. Then we have our justice girls. We have Irene, who is the personification of peace. Eunomia, the personification of law and order. And Dike, the personification of justice. When we think of these three, we can think of blind justice, who really is represented by their mother Themis, the lady with the two scales of justice and a blind covering her eyes. Then we have the Morai, or the Fates. We have Clotho, who is the life thread spinner. Lachesis, the life thread measurer. And Atropos, she's the one that cuts the thread of life. Per Theoi.com, Eurynome, another Oceanid with whom Zeus slept with, bore him another three daughters. She was the goddess of water meadows and pasture land. Aglaia, the goddess of beauty, splendor, glory, and adornment. Euphrosyne, goddess of cheer, mirth, and merriment. And Talia, the goddess of festivity and banquets. She's also associated with springtime blooming. These goddesses were also the attendants of their aunts, I believe. Aphrodite, the goddess of beauty, sex, and desire. They were known as the Charites. Next marital victim is Demeter, the goddess of harvest and agriculture. Though I'm not really a fan of Roman deity names, you might recognize this one. Ceres. From Ceres, we get cereal, from like the grains and the corn-based dishes, etc. Zeus. Demeter bore her brother husband one daughter, Persephone. She became the consort of Hades, thus making her the queen of the underworld and goddess of the dead. She was, because of Demeter, also a vegetation goddess associated with the spring harvest. What do we know about Persephone? Well, mostly her abduction meet-cute with Hades. He saw her, desired her, asked Zeus for her hand, and he said sure. But do it when mommy isn't around, and then trick her into staying into your realm. Great parenting skills there, Zeus. Good job. That's essentially what happened. During the time that Persephone was taken to Hades' realm, Demeter was hell-bent on finding her with little success. And because Demeter was so focused on finding Persephone, Her duties as the harvest and agriculture goddess were not being fulfilled, which is what we humans have 4 seasons, not 3. The bountiful seasons are spring, summer, and fall, where flowers and trees bloom and food may be gathered for harvesting and sacrifices. And then we get winter, where the skies are desolate, the climate is cold, and nothing prospers. So let's rewind real quick. During her abduction, Persephone was tricked or manipulated into eating food in the underworld. Rules were, if you eat any food in the underworld, you therefore were obliged to spend time in the underworld and can't leave. With the help of Hecate, the goddess of crossroads and choices, magic and witchcraft, Demeter searched for Persephone, but again, she wasn't successful. It wasn't until the Titan Helios, Titan of the Sun, explained to Demeter what really happened. During the search, Demeter ceased all production of crops growing, which got to Zeus from all the mortals praying to him about their problems. Zeus then told Hades to return Persephone back to the earth and or living, but because she was tricked into eating pomegranate seeds, she was forced to stay between 3 to 6 months during the year. The next wife was Memosyne. She was the goddess of languages, remembrance, and memory. So how did she and Zeus meet? Here's meet cute. Zeus, in his infinite decision to disguise himself, I assure you this won't be the last time he does this, decided to take the form of a shepherd. And with her, he slept with her for 9 days, begetting 9 daughters. She was the mother of the 9 muses. Or, if you watch Hercules, the Disney version, there's 5. And what lives in my mind right free? Hunkules. Anyway, moving on. Calliope was the muse associated with epic poetry. Think of Homer and the Iliad as well as the Odyssey. We have Cleo, who's the muse of history. She would be my muse. We have Urania, who's the muse of astronomy. Talia, comedy. Pomini, Jesus Christ. Oh, he doesn't exist yet. She's associated with tragedy. Polyhymnia is the one for religious hymns. Erato, erotic poetry. Think of Sappho. Euterpe, lyric poetry. And Terpsichore, choral song and dance. These goddesses were associated with their half-brother Apollo, as he was the god of music. Each muse was associated with musical instruments. Since this is technically a history podcast, Cleo's instrument was the lyre. That's cool. In his next amorous adventure, we meet Leto. She was the goddess of motherhood, protectress of the young, and of demureness. What's that thing on TikTok? Be mindful, be demure. I guess you can say she was another aunt of Zeus because she was a titaness. She really got Hera's wrath, aside from a few mortal lovers that we'll get into later on in episode 2. But she really, really was the target of Hera's wrath. Their meeting happened because he saw Leto, she was beautiful of course, and he was intent on seducing her. Once he successfully seduced her, guess what happened? No, really, guess. Ready? Okay, I guess I'll give in and tell you what happened. She got pregnant. She got pregnant. I guess when you're a god like Zeus, you have super sperm. Wonderful. What's more, having the wrath of Hera was not something any person wanted, especially if you're the victim of Zeus's dick. At any rate, Hera demanded that Leto could not give birth on land, and finally, after a long time after being hounded by Hera, Leto was able to find the floating island of Delos. She was able then to rest and give birth to her 2 children, the gods Artemis and Apollo. Artemis was born first, and then Apollo came 9 days later, but they're still considered the twins. Before I get into their story, I just wanted to describe their powers and attributes and or associations. Artemis is associated with hunting, wilderness, wild animals, and the goddess of childbirth. She also assisted Leto, her mother, with bringing her brother Apollo into the world. Lucky us. She was also the protector of young girls up until they got married, and she was also associated with the color silver and the moon. She was, like her sister Athena, a virgin goddess. Oh, Apollo. He was a god of prophecy and oracles, the Oracle of Delphi being one of the most famous, healing, plague and disease, music, poetry, and protection of young boys. He is associated with the color gold and the sun. Artemis and Apollo were associated with archery, her having silver arrows, Apollo having gold arrows. So here's the story featuring Leto, Artemis, and Apollo. Also, Apollo will get his own episode in the future. He's almost as bad as his father. The Kingdom of Thebes, Queen Niobe started making boastful comments about how fruitful of a wife she was compared to the Titan goddess Leto. Leto only had her two children, Artemis and Apollo, whereas Niobe had given birth to 14 children, 7 daughters and 7 sons. They're called the Niobides. Her words from Bullfinch's mythology are thus. "What folly," said she, "is this to prefer beings whom you never saw to those who stand before your eyes? Why should Latona, Leto, be honored with worship rather than I? My father was Tantalus, who received as a guest at the table of the gods. My mother, Dione, was a goddess. My husband built and rules this city, Thebes, and Phrygia is my paternal inheritance. Wherever I turn my eyes, I survey the elements of my power. Nor is my form and presence unworthy of a goddess. To all, let me add, I have 7 sons and 7 daughters, and look for sons-in-laws and daughters-in-law of pretension worthy of my alliance. Have I not cause for pride? Will you refer to me this Latona, Leto, the Titan's daughter with her 2 children? I have 7 times as many. Fortunate indeed am I, and fortunate I shall remain. Will anyone deny this?" Good gods, she sounds like an entitled brat. Anyway, to sum up this long-winded story, yes, she was denied. Artemis and Apollo heard her cries of hubris and gave her a hard lesson to learn. Niobe's sons, killed by arrows from Apollo, and Artemis targeted the daughter. In some versions, one daughter was spared. She turned into a palish green tone on her skin, and because of that, she was called Chloris. She's also referred to her other name, Melibaeoa. Devastated with the loss of her children, Niobe went back to her native land, Mount Cypleus, where she was then turned into the stone by the gods to contemplate her actions forevermore. There's also stories of that her stone statue crying relentlessly after the loss of her children. Out of all the relationships Zeus has had with immortal women, you know, the nymphs, the goddesses, the titanesses, etc., the stories of Hermes always entertains me. Yes, I know, we haven't gotten to Hera and their brood yet, but still, this story is just fantastic. Hermes' parents are Zeus and Maia, one of the Pleiades, well, nymphs of the stars in the cosmos. Her father was Atlas, the Titan god of the heavens, and her mother was Pleione. She was the eldest of Atlas's daughters, and of course, Zeus looked up and went, hubba hubba. To avoid Hera's spying and snooping, Zeus snuck away, because of course he did, at night to visit Maia. Maia was a lucky nymph, because Hera did not find out that she bore Hermes. And unlike Leto and others, she escaped Hera's wrath. With their tryst came one of the most important Olympian gods, Hermes, or Mercury if you're into the Roman version. Hermes was associated or had powers and abilities including being the messenger god. Unlike other gods, he can go back and forth between Olympus, the earth, and the underworld. Also associated with being the god of inventors, travelers, liars, thieves, and athletes. I just want to tell this little story. Well, actually, it's kind of a 2-in-1 story about this Olympic little shit. He's getting 2 stories. It's my show. Fuck it. So here's story 1. When he was born at dawn at the cave of Mount Selene, and by noon, he was walking and exploring and traveling around. And while he was exploring, he found a tortoise shell. He took the shell, along with the animal skin, and gutted some sheep for some strings and created the lyre. You know, the instrument that's associated with Cleo and Apollo. Well, he then taught himself how to play the instrument. This is related to story number 2. This little shit showcases his mischievousness quite clearly. He tricked his older brother Apollo. When Hermes was still essentially a baby or a toddler, he stole his older brother's cattle. To hide the footprints, Hermes made them walk backwards, and then he took twigs to make himself sandals for his own feet. He took the cattle to a nearby cave. Apollo, after finding out his cattle had been stolen, went to Zeus so he can mete out justice. Zeus, knowing it was Hermes, told Hermes to reveal the location. Once he did, Apollo then noticed the new musical instrument that Hermes invented. He wanted Hermes to play it, and of course, being the god of music, he wanted it. As a token of forgiveness, Hermes gave Apollo the lyre, and Apollo gifted the caduceus to Hermes. They also became not just best friends, but vowed everlasting loyalty. All I'm saying here, Hermes is not only a delight to hear about his stories, but he's one hell of a prankster. Most people are fans of Athena. I'm partial to Hermes. Zeus's man-whoring didn't just go to his sister wife, Hera. He also slept with his own daughter, Persephone. By Persephone, they had 2 children, Melanoe, also potentially fathered in the guise of Hades. She was the goddess of the underworld. Her appearance was half black and half white. And then there's Zagreus. He was a son of Persephone and Zeus and the god of rebirth. According to ancient Greek playwright Aeschylus, he was also the son of Persephone and Hades, or potentially so. Anyway, Zeus, oh lord, this man whore, took the form of a snake to seduce and slither around Persephone. Zagreus was born with horns and wearing a crown of snakes. Because Hera hated Zeus's cheating, again, most agree with that, Hera had the Titans tear him apart to pieces. They also then started cooking and eating him, except his heart, which Zeus was able to retrieve. In the Orphic retellings, Zagreus then turned into another form of a god, Dionysus. I just want to say, in terms of the story of Dionysus, I'm actually going to put that in part two, because from what I read growing up, Semele, who was a priestess of Zeus, was the mother of Dionysus, and therefore she was a mortal woman, not immortal, so therefore Dionysus' story will not be told in this episode. Zeus and Hera, what a Jerry Springer-esque couple they make. Or is it more of a Maury Povich? You are the father! To give a quick description of Hera, she's the queen of the gods, per her marriage to Zeus, defender of marriage, the irony is very rich when it comes to that, and of course the goddess of childbirth. Remember Leto? Well, Zeus slept with her at least three times, as they had three children. Ares, the god of war, also known as a violent himbo, Hebe, the goddess of youth, and Eileithyia, the goddess of birth. So there really aren't any stories about them, quote-unquote, as they're married. They didn't really have an affair. And generally, they stayed married. But Zeus went on sexual vacation, so here we are. With the exception of Metis, the mother of Athena, most of Zeus's sexcapades were affairs. He married with Metis first, so Hera did not have to enact on her rage on that relationship and on Athena. I will say, though, Hera tried to one-up Zeus, but that didn't go as planned. There are some discussions, depending on which forms or sources that you're getting your stories from, Hephaestus may have been from Hera and Zeus. For me, the story I heard was that Zeus did not father Hephaestus, but rather Hera birthed him alone. She did this to show up Zeus when he bore Athena from his head. Unfortunately, Hera found him physically wanting and booted him off of Olympus due to his visage or a club foot. So he was an Olympic version of Lord Byron. So that was the last story of today's episode about Zeus and his sexcapades. I do want to note that there will be a part two, and that will be about his sexcapades. I wish I didn't have to beat this word, but it really is. But anyway, next episode will be about Zeus and his mortal lovers, like princesses, regular women. And by regular, I mean princesses who were very pretty and his dick got up for them. So be on the lookout for episode two, or part two rather, of Zeus and his sexcapades. Thank you for joining me today. I apologize about this being uploaded late. Life got in the way of things, so here I am. So thank you again. And as always, until next time, try not to get into any shenanigans, or I may end up telling your story. This show is edited by me, Adrian. You can email the show at sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com, or you can also visit the website sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site. Music is provided by the Advent Chamber Orchestra, performing Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Violins in A Minor, RV522. Show artwork is by Jan Steen, A Girl Eating Oysters. Thanks very much. Have a good one. Bye.